Welcome back to the Thermodiet Podcast. I'm your host, Jayden Miller, and I'm here with the valiant co-host, Mr. Tyler Woodward.
How are we doing today, Jayden?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. What are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to talk about how stress can manifest itself in your body, your mind, your life, just generally speaking, how stress manifests itself.
Stress on stress.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to talk about some of the different ways that stress manifests itself in the body. So this can be from anything from like your blood sugar gets low, and these are some of the symptoms that you'll experience, or like, you're going through a very rigorous and stressful mental time too, and it can manifest itself in different ways. Usually one of the ways that it manifests itself first, for me personally, is my digestion gets messed up. Like, that's usually the first thing to go whenever my body gets really stressed out, is my digestion just gets obliterated. And then beyond that, I would say usually a lack of sleep or an inability to fall and stay asleep is the next thing that I tend to notice. And then my appetite tends to go away too. So those are kind of some of the initial markers of stress. And then over time, I noticed that I'll start to experience the cold fingers, cold toes. My hair will start thinning out too. It might be doing that anyways, but I don't think it's thinning out too much. But I'll start combing my hair and I'll just get a crap ton of hair out of the comb. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the ones that I experience. What are some things you experience whenever you get stressed out?
I don't stress out, so. No. First thing that happens to me is my blood sugar. So this is something I've noticed recently when I think I've gotten my blood sugar more under control. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you don't pay attention to your blood sugar, like, you don't notice your swing. And I was fasting for a number of years, so it's like you're kind of just avoiding the blood sugar problem. I get cold, and I get really anxious, like, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, so I've been trying to lose weight, and I'll eat in the morning. Sometimes I'll have a smoothie if we go to jiu-jitsu, or a lot of times after jiu-jitsu I'll have a smoothie. And then I won't eat till after the gym, which could be like 6, 7 o'clock. And after the gym, I'll come home and I'll get very anxious. Mm-hmm. We were driving to softball, and I was like, yo, I need food. And we guys stopped, got me Chipotle. Thank you. Appreciate it. I was like freezing. Like, mm-hmm. when I was eating that Chipotle, I was like shivering cold. It was like 70 degrees. Ate the Chipotle. Hey, I mean, wasn't the most well-digested Chipotle during the softball game. I was running around with my tummy was a little full. But I went from freezing, then I was like, oh my God, I feel like a new human being. Mm-hmm. So that's been something new that's interested me recently. My sleep is never that great, so I'm still working on that, figuring that out. But I think that, like, there's something about, like, you can't have a good night's sleep if you're stressed, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You never just wake up feeling great. And I definitely used to get more of the cold hands and feet. My dad has struggled with that for years. I don't really think I get in that. I feel like a lot of times, like, you get more of a repetitive response when you know you're stressed, mm-hmm. when you are in a good state of health, mm-hmm. I would say.
You definitely have more self-awareness whenever it comes to what stresses you out and how it manifests itself, for mm-hmm. sure.
What do you think? How did you feel when you were, like, your peak stress?
So, first of all, you mentioned kind of like the anxiousness whenever your blood sugar gets low. I've definitely been known to get hangry, probably as far back as I can remember. Like, if there was one thing that really stressed me out without me knowing it, it was being hungry and not having something to eat. Mm. I've definitely had to become a lot more aware of that, especially, having a partner too. Like, I got to make sure not to project my anxiousness onto her whenever it's coming from my stomach, or from low blood sugar. Because I would say that generally speaking, like, I'm very mellow and I'm very aware of my emotions and how I feel and stuff like that. But for some reason, if I'm super hungry, I can get very anxious and very frustrated rather easily. So I have to kind of keep that top of mind and realize that whatever situation I'm in is probably just this frustrating or stressful because I'm hungry in a lot of cases.
Emily was telling me she started carrying a Snickers bar for, you know, whenever you're hangry.
No, I don't need the Snickers bar. She carries around like a lot of dark chocolate and stuff like that. Yeah. So, keeping it thermo for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. You remember the Snickers commercials? Like Snickers Satisfies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are fun.
I'm definitely not me when I'm hungry. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll also notice, along with like the frustration and anxiousness that tends to come about with it, I also get a lot of brain fog too. Like, and I'm not the only one that's experienced this. I've talked to several different people that also experience it. And for some reason, whenever their blood sugar gets really, really low, they just have the inability to think clearly. And they notice that, like, say they take a lunch break and then they come back and they're full. It's almost kind of like the second morning for them, I guess, because they can get a couple more hours in of really good work because they're blood sugars established again.
Yeah. I noticed that a lot when I would eat, like, I think either too much or just not like thermal meals, and I would eat, like, my blood sugar feels like it was dysregulated after eating, so I'd be more tired. Mm-hmm. Like, you get that crash after lunch. I think a lot of postprandial glucose crash, whatever you want to call it. I think that's the opposite. And the other thing I was thinking about, I used to get really bad insomnia. Mm-hmm. I would just, like, my thoughts, I would just couldn't shut off, which I think is direct sign of, and you need energy to turn off, right? Like, we don't think about it like energy as in like running around and doing all this stuff. Like, you need energy to slow down. And anxiety, a lot of these things are symptoms of an overactive nervous system, not an underactive nervous system. So I think one of the things I've been able to sleep, knock on wood, I've been able to go to sleep very well, like pretty pass out pretty easily, versus in the past, like, I would just end up some nights like staying up for hours, just thoughts. Like, it wasn't like, most of the time I was like fine, like it was like good thoughts, just thinking in my head. But it just was like kind of frustrating. Like, you go to sleep at 11 o'clock and now it's 3 a.m. and you're just wide awake.
Mm-hmm. I've actually noticed that. So, like, I'll eat breakfast in the morning and then I'll wait till I kind of feel hungry later in the day. And I'll notice that, like, whenever my blood sugar gets really low during that time, I'll get like super anxious and like, because I'm working and I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff done. And then, like, in the afternoons after lunch or whatever, whenever my blood sugar gets low, that's whenever, like, I need a nap.
Mm.
And a lot of times, like, that 2:30 napping feeling is usually just a snack time for most people. Like, a lot of people just need a snack to kind of get their blood sugar back up, get their energy levels back up, and finish the day off. But, yeah, I've definitely noticed that, like, in the mornings, if my blood sugar gets super low or if I get stressed, my anxiousness gets super high. And then in the afternoons, I just get super tired.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think snacks are very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Just having some like sugar. Like, I think I've been using a sugary drink, lemonade, for a workout. And I think it's interesting. Like, theoretically, it might not be optimal, quote unquote, from a workout perspective, because you want a big glucose or insulin surge after a workout because it's very anabolic.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, just supplying your body with additional amounts of energy throughout the workout so you're not crashing probably lets you sustain longer, better workouts, get more effective reps, whatever you want to call it. So I think that's an interesting concept to consider as well.
Yeah, I feel like it almost kind of helps you start recovering in your workout too.
Mm. So that's what some people might say could be detrimental though, because it's like then it's like you're doing two, hitting both sides of the stone, you know, trying to recover as you're trying to build more.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, I feel like it would just be initiating that healing process a little bit quicker instead of stopping it from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it's more probably just reducing the amount of stress you're putting, the total stress you're putting on your workout versus like, you're probably not, even if like, unless I wouldn't have a huge amount of glucose, I probably wouldn't eat some ice cream in the middle of a workout, like, but just keeping your blood sugar high where you're taking a sip or two of lemonade throughout the workout, I think it's probably fine.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But yeah. Other than blood sugar stress, some of the things that I've noticed whenever it comes to mental stress specifically is I tend to hold stress in different parts of my body. So like I have really tight traps and rhomboids, and that is like where I store my stress 100%. And I noticed that whenever I work those areas out a little bit, you know, say I go get a massage or, you know, I work through a lacrosse ball and kind of work them out a little bit, it kind of releases it almost like releases the stress to where I feel mentally refreshed as well whenever that happens. I think it also I think the calcification of the muscles also tends to kind of create some stress, and it kind of almost creates a loop, like a stress loop. So because your body has the inability to produce enough energy to relax. And I think that that in turn also creates a cycle for the mind. And then whenever you break that cycle off on the physical level, it can usually break the cycle of the mental level as well.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. Yeah, one of the things, like, thinking about, like, structured water and all that stuff is, like, I wonder if that has a huge role of just moving things around when you're foam rolling and all that stuff, because the calcium plays a huge role in that, and that, like, creating those bonds, so you don't want a lot of intracellular calcium and too much, I don't know, things like that. But, yeah, I think foam rolling, there's definitely something to foam rolling. Just, I think it's very mental a lot of times, and just releasing the nervous system or just getting some blood flow where blood flow hasn't flown before.
Right, or lymphatic drainage. I feel like that's probably the main benefit of foam rolling in general, is just getting lymph fluid around.
Yeah, that's also an interesting point. Yeah, I mean, just getting some form of movement. I think that's why one of the best things you can do if you're ever stressed, even if you're, I mean, other than maybe a snack, is going for a walk and getting outside. That was the fifth benefit we didn't talk about before. Getting outside, just in nature.
Oh, for mental health.
Yeah. So going, if you can go outside, I mean, having a place, so we have this place that's like 10, 15 minutes from me back home, that's like these empty woods that for some reason, it used to be a little bit more popular, but it's just kind of off the map. And I mean, there is absolutely nothing better than just walking through nature, like seeing the seasons change. Like my dad loves it. We don't go there every day, but getting out there a couple times a week is just like, there's so many studies that have found it's associated with less depression, happiness, blah, blah, blah. Nature and like clean oxygen can do some magical things.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Novelty in general tends to do that too. Novelty is kind of like an anti-stress activity, I would say. So like, you know, finding a new way to get to your office for work, or, you know, taking a new route on your afternoon walk or something like that, like introducing some kind of novelty in your day-to-day experience is usually very beneficial for lowering cortisol, kind of helping the mind expand and work in new ways. That's one of the reasons why if you need a be creative, going to a new environment can be beneficial.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like neuroplasticity, like in and of itself, is probably a little bit of a skill where it's like if you just do the same thing over and over and over and over again for 20, 50, 30 years, even for a year, it's like your ability to change probably is harder. You know, you're less plastic versus people that, like, you see, like, grandmas can, like, gain muscle from lifting weights. Like, you see, anyone can learn a new language, but, like, the younger you are, the more plastic your brain is, the easier you have times learning these new motor patterns, these new speech patterns, things like that. Versus the older you are, it doesn't mean it's possible. It just becomes harder and harder.
Yeah, definitely. I would say another way that stress tends to manifest itself in the body is a lack of bodily awareness. That's one thing that I kind of learned a little bit from The Body Keeps the Score. Basically, people just have a disconnect between their mind and like the actual physical sensations that are happening within their body. And I think, I mean, a lot of it has to do with a traumatic experience. Say, you know, you got your hand hit with a hammer at one point whenever you were a young kid, and now every time that you hold a hammer or around a hammer or something, like, you experience pain in your hand, or you just have the inability to kind of feel your hand in general because of the experience that happened. Doesn't necessarily have to be from nerve damage or anything that happens, just a traumatic experience that your brain is trying to suppress.
Interesting. Is that like what do they call it when someone has taken a bullet or had a arm piece amputated and they can still feel, is it nerve pains? Ghost?
Yeah, the ghost limb.
Ghost limb, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a crazy phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's kind of related in a different way. But yeah, people lose the inability to feel the different sensations that are happening within their body because of stress in a lot of cases. So bodily awareness and self-awareness in general is definitely something that I would recommend being aware of and practicing whenever you are looking to kind of enhance your resiliency to stress.
Going off of that, I think your like reactiveness is a huge metric. Mm-hmm. So I know when I was fasting, I thought I felt fine, and everyone was like, how do you do that? And I was like, your body just needs a time to not eat and eat, like, autophagy, autophagy, whatever. But like thinking back, I was like, and I think that's definitely a thing of aging and also getting healthier, but like, I am just significantly less reactive than I used to be. And I mean, there are times where like, I mean, everyone snaps at times. Everyone gets a little angry. I don't think it happens to me very often, but I think back then, and people that are on like on these high stress diets or lifestyles tend to be very reactive. You know, like mm-hmm. doesn't take much to go from zero to 100. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge thing. And also, your as you were saying, your awareness of that. So like you like now we might be like, man, I need to go eat something because we're aware of it. But like back then, it was just like. You yell at someone, then you go back to whatever you're doing, and it was fine. Like, you didn't realize that there was a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. And then you fast for 8 more hours.
And then, yeah, one meal a day, OMAD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, that was rough. But yeah, I think, the main point that I wanted to get across in this podcast is just to notice the different sensations that you have whenever you're in times of stress and try to beat those sensations from happening, like try mm-hmm. and beat them to the punch, so to speak. Develop more bodily awareness, develop more emotional awareness, and it's going to pay dividends in the mm-hmm. long run for sure.
And I think Hansai talks about this a lot, like general adaptation syndrome. So like basically you see the same hormones being released, which is glucagon, probably ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, adrenaline, and cortisol. And I think, which I don't think he talks about as much, like he talks about a lot, you're going to see the gastrointestinal ulcers from blood being taken away from the intestines. What else did he talk about
symptom-wise? I'm not really sure. I would say that's probably one thing worth looking into for the people who are listening to the podcast mm-hmm. is general adaptation syndrome, is it otherwise known as GAS. Definitely something to look forward to. And Stress Without Distress by Hans Selye talks a lot about that. So I'd highly recommend his book.
Well, he doesn't – that's his book, isn't – does he have two?
Yeah, he has two. So he has Stress Without Distress, and then he has what's the other one?
It's not General Adaptation Syndrome, right?
No.
I haven't read the other one. I've only read Stress Without Distress. But regardless, yeah. I think Selye does a great job of talking about, and I don't know if he thinks he talks about this specifically, but I think everyone has a kind of stress reaction. It's like the hormones, we all release the same hormones. We all react to stress in the same way internally, but how that materializes externally, like he might get hungry. I might lose my sleep. Like we might both have mood swings. Like everyone probably has the same thing where like they are getting stressed and they feel the stress coming on, whether or not they're aware of it. It might be different from everyone, person to person, depending on where they are in their journey. But figuring out what your, not necessarily, maybe your triggers, but also like what the consequences are,
mm-hmm.
are probably going to be one of the best things you can do for managing and handling your stress and knowing when you are stressed, becoming more aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And figuring out what the root cause of that stress is. And like, if you have the ability to eliminate it, then get rid of it. If you don't, then figuring out how you can kind of work around it or work with it in some way.
Yes,
until you can get past it.
Yep. Awesome. Anything else?
Nope. I think that's all that I got.
Sweet. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Peace.